We're on Chaf Hey Amud Aleph. We're on the eighth line by the two dots. So the Gemara says Itmar Tsoa al Besaro o Yado Munachas Befeis Akise. So let's say a person either has feces on their skin or their hand is inside of a bathroom. So the question is he allowed to say Shema in that circumstance? So Rav Huna Amar Mutter Likros Kriya Shema. Rav Chista Amar Asur Likros Kriya Shema. So what's the Machlokas about? So Amar Rava My Taima De Rav Huna Dechsev Kol Haneshama Tahal El Ka. Meaning the assumption is that according to Rav Huna, as long as your mouth is in a tahor situation, meaning there's no feces on your mouth, or there's no, or your mouth is not in the bathroom, that's okay. For Rav Chista Amar Asur Likros Kriya Shema, my time of Rav Chista, Dechsev Kol Atzmosai Tomarna Hashem Micha Mocha. All of your limbs have to be pure according to Rav Chista in order to be able to say Shema. Itmar Reach Rashi Yeshlo Iker. What if there's a foul odor, but the foul odor actually has a source? In other words, there's feces or there's something from where the odor is coming. So Rav Huna Amar Marchik Arba Amos V'Korei Kriya Shema. According to Rav Huna, you must first distance yourself 4 amos from the feces or from the thing that's causing the smell, and then say Shema. Whereas Rav Chista Amar Marchik Dalad Amos Mimakum Shepasak HaReach V'Korei Kriya Shema. Whereas according to Rav Chista, it's not enough to just distance yourself 4 amos from the feces. You have to distance yourself 4 amos from the spot where the odor stops, and then you can say Shema. So the Gemara explains Tanya Kevasei De Rav Chista. We have a brisa that supports Rav Chista. Lo Yikra Adam Kriya Shema Lo Keneged Soas Adam V'Lo Keneged Soas Klavim V'Lo Keneged Soas Chazir Velo keneged soas tarnigolim, velo keneged soas ashpa shereichara, vim haya makom gavoa asar tfachim, unamach asar tfachim, yoshev vitsido vikore kriyashma, vim lav marchik malo enav. So basically, this brisa says that a person is not permitted to recite Shema in front of all these different types of feces, of animal feces or human feces, but if the feces is either in an area which is either 10 tfachim above or 10 tfachim below where you are, then you could technically be sitting next to the feces and reciting Shema. But if it's not either more or less than 10 tfachim above where you are, then you have to distance yourself melo enav. In other words, it can't be within range of your sight. What do you mean? In other words, it doesn't say. Meaning until you can't see it anymore. So once you can no longer see it, then you can say Shema. And the Gemara says v'chein letfila. And these same standards apply when it comes to reciting Shemona Esrei as well. Then the Gemara says, yeah.
It seems to be talking about excrement. What happens if it's a putrid odor?
A putrid odor that... No. So this, you're right. This particular Gemara happens to be talking about feces, but the Gemara is going to distinguish, as we'll see in a second, between a foul odor that comes from a source, which doesn't have to necessarily be feces. It could be anything, versus, let's say, flatulence, which is just a foul odor that has no source to it. So that's going to be the distinction. Meaning, you're right, the foul odor can come from... It can come from feces, it can come from anything.
Even if it's rotten eggs, let's
yeah,
say,
yeah,
it would be
correct.
The same.
It would be, yeah, correct, exactly.
The
Gemara that we just read spoke about feces and the odor from the feces. The next Gemara that we're about to see is going to discuss odors that are not founded in anything, that are not based in feces or anything like that. We'll see that in a second.
Yeah. Terribly important.
Yeah.
It seems to say don't say it if you're within a distance of feces. Even if the feces doesn't smell.
That was the machlokas in the Gemara, meaning the machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Chista that we mentioned before is, do I have to distance myself 4 amos from the actual feces or from the spot from which the odor of the feces stops? Because that's essentially the issue. Is the issue the odor or is the issue there's something intrinsically bad about the feces? Okay, so the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Reach ra sheyesh lo iker, marchik dalet amos mimokom hareach v'korei kriyashma. This brisa says explicitly what Rav Chista said, right? Because remember, Rav Chista was the one who said that it's not enough to distance yourself 4 amos from the feces, but rather you have to be 4 amos away from the odor of the feces. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Leis Hilchasak Yihamas Nisei, says Rava, we don't paskin like this brisa, Ela Kihadasani, rather we paskin like the following brisa. Lo Yikra Adam Kriya Shema, Lo Keneget Soas Adam, Velo Keneget Soas Chazirim, Velo Keneget Soas Klavim, Bizman Shenosan Oros Lasochan. So Rava in this brisa qualifies the statement and says, the only time that you're not allowed to recite Shema in front of either human or animal feces is provided that the feces is being used for some sort of tanning process to make hides, to make leather. So then Rava says that's considered to be overly putrid or like excessively putrid. But if it's just regular feces that's not being used for that purpose, so Rava assumes that for some reason that doesn't qualify to the same extent as being as disgusting. Okay, so the Gemara says Bo mine merav sheshes. So the question they asked Rav Sheshes was Reach rashi ein lo ikar ma. What if it's just a foul odor, but there's no feces, there's no rotten eggs, there's nothing. It's just, let's say, flatulence, for example. So would you be allowed to say Shema in front of that? So Amar lehu asu chazu hanit Tzipi Debe Rav, Tahani Ganu Vahani Garsi. He says if you look at the mats that they would lie out in the base medrash, so you'd have the students would be sleeping on the mats, which, you know, presumably there was a chance that they might have flatulated, and those same mats were being used for learning Torah the following day. However, the Gemara qualifies Vahani Mile Bedivrei Torah. That heter to allow you to learn on the mats where there's a chance that there is a foul odor is only going to be true when it comes to learning Torah. Aval B'kriya Shema Lo. However, that would not be acceptable to recite Shema around those mats. And even within Torah, Vidivri Torah Nami Lo Amran, Elo Dechavre, Aval Didei Lo. And even within learning Torah, the only heter that we allow you to learn Torah on those mats is if the odor came from somebody else, because in that case you can't control that. But if the odor comes from you, so then the halacha is that even Torah you would not be allowed to learn on those mats if you yourself, let's say, flatulated over the mats in the base medrash. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Inmar. Tsoa uveris. What if you have feces that is simply passing through, meaning it's not permanently, you know, going to be here. It's someone's shoveling out feces and bringing it somewhere else. So can one recite Shema in front of that? So Avaya Amar Mutter Likros Kriya Shema, Rava Amar Asher Likros Kriya Shema. So again, so what's the machlokes? So Amar Abaye Menoam Yila. Abaye says, from where do I know that one is permitted to recite Shema in this case? Disnan. So this is a Mishnah that appears in Maseches Negayim. Hatame Ome Tachas Ilan VaHatohar Over. Tame. Let's say you have a person who's Tame, who's a Mitzora. The Mitzora is standing underneath a tree, and a Tohar person passes by the tree. Let's say he goes under the branches of the tree, so the Tohar person then becomes Tame. However, Tohar Ome Tachas Ha'ilan, the Tame Over, then Tohar. If the Tohar guy is under the tree, and the Mitzora is passing underneath the tree, so then the guy under the tree remains Tohar. However, what was that? This is Tumas Tsaras. Tsaras. Right? In other words, if the person is Tame, so he's going to transmit. In other words, let's say, for example, we know that a Mitzora or a Zav, you know. No, meaning, for example, if let's say we know the case of like a Zav. A Zav is on one side of a scale, and he tips the scale, and the other person becomes Tame. So it's a similar kind of Tumah. Yeah, correct.
He puts weight.
I'm saying so. This no so no because since there's tuma under the tree, so the branches of the tree are going to transmit tuma to the person walking underneath, assuming that the guy walking by was tar. If the guy underneath the tree was this type of tuma. In other words, the fact that let's say for example a branch is gonna carry out the tuma. We spoke about this back in Maseches Nida. This type of tuma may be derabanan, but potentially that it applies to other types of tuma. But the point is of this Mishnah is that the only way that the person is going to become tame is if the mitzora is under the tree and the guy walking by is tahor. However, if the guy but the Gemara says right, then he's tahor. However, v'im amad tame. If let's say the mitzora stops dead in his tracks, meaning he doesn't just keep on walking, he's walking and then he stops right by the tree, so then even the guy under the tree is going to become tame. V'chein be'evin hamenugas. The same would be true regarding stones in a house that contract tzaras. We know that technically a house can also get tzaras. So the same standards apply when it comes to the stones of a house. Meaning, if the stones of a house are stationary, then they can transmit tuma. If they're moving around, so then tuma cannot be transmitted. So again, this is a bai source for the fact that soa overis, one is permitted to recite Shema, because we see that when something is moving by, when it's passing through, it doesn't transmit tuma. So that's how a bai knows that one is permitted to recite Shema in front of passing soa. The Rava Amar Lecha, how would Rava respond to this proof? So he would say, no. Hasam bikviusa talya milsa dichsev badad yeshiv michutz lamachane moshevo. The standards when it comes to tzaras are different because the Torah says in Parshas Metzora that a person who contracts tzaras has to be kicked out of the machane. He has to be on his own. So his moshavo, his new location, is wherever he is outside of the machane. Meaning, a Metzora can only contract tzaras in his location, not if he's passing through. That's a special din regarding a Metzora. But hacha, when it comes to not saying Shema in front of feces, the pasuk says, v'haya machanecha kadosh ha-maracham anav ha-halika. There's a standard that you're only allowed to recite Shema in brachos in a kadosh scenario. And here, even though the feces is simply passing through, that's a violation of a Hayah Machanecha Kadur. So Rava's response to Abaye is that you can't bring any proofs from the case of Mitzora, because the fact that a Mitzora is going to make you Tame when he is not Tame when he passes through is a special halacha regarding Tzaras, but that din does not carry over to the case of feces. Okay, so the Gemara continues, Amar of Papa.
It's
not an exact comparison, because obviously you don't become tame if you touch feces, right? But in terms of the standards of let's say kedusha, right? So the Gemara thought that maybe we should be able to compare the two. So Rava is saying exactly what you're saying. Rava is saying the two cases are not related at all, right? Because there's one din by tzaras and there's a separate din when it comes to tzoa. Abaye apparently believed that the two cases were more similar than that, and therefore he tried to learn a comparison between the two. to which Rava thought was not correct.
A person yeah. who works on a farm, obviously, yeah. would then have to shower
yeah.
and do all this other stuff.
Yeah, presumably, yeah, farm. Correct. I mean, yeah, yeah, right. yeah. yeah. correct. Okay, so the Gemara says, yeah. What was that?
He doesn't have to wash. And I told him, Shabbos, they said, no, the tvila or echitza is not halacha today. That was a
for what? For what? Well, you're saying like for a Baal Keri, you mean? You mean no. like a
Baal Keri, if Baal Keri doesn't have to, of course, there's somebody.
Well, so late. Well, okay, well, okay. I mean, first of all, it might depend. Meaning, if you're working with soa, if you're working with manure,
yeah,
so
it's
that
not tuma. It's
not. No, no. Again, none of this is tuma related. This is all. Yeah. Am I allowed to say Shema or brachos or Shmona Esrei in front of these things? That's the issue in the Gemara. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Rav Papa, pi chazir kitsoa overes dami. So a pig's snout is the halachic equivalent of feces which is passing through. So the Gemara says, Pshita, right? Pigs always roll in the mud. So why would I have thought any differently? The Gemara says, no, lo tzricha, afal gad zesolik minahara. Even though a pig just came out of the river and it's clean, but halachically we view a pig always as if it, you know, ki'ilu, that it has tzoa on the snout. Amar Rav Yehuda, safik tzoa asura, safik miraglai mutarim. So comes Rav Yehuda and says, what if you have a scenario where you're not sure if there's feces, meaning there's some kind of odor going on, but you don't, in other words, but you can't trace down where the odor is coming from. So according to Rav Yehuda, if it's a suffix of tsoa, you have to be machmir. If the suffix is only for urine, so then you could be makil. Ika da amre, amar Rav Yehuda, suffix tsoa bivayas muteres ba'ashba asura, suffix miraglayim afilu ba'ashba nami mutar. And the second version of Rav Yehuda says that when it comes to suffix tsoa, it depends where the suffix is. The suffix is in my house, so it's pretty unlikely that there's actual tsoa lying around the house, so therefore I could be makil. If the suffix is inside of a garbage dump, so then it's pretty likely, you know that there is feces there, and therefore it would be problematic. Whereas by urine, even inside of the garbage dump, I'm allowed to be makel. And the Gemara explains: Savar laki hada Rav Hamnuna, the Amar Rav Hamnuna, lo asra Torah ela keneged amud bilvad. Rav Hamnuna said that the isser of reciting Shema only applies when you're standing in front of an active stream of urine. But if there's just urine on the floor somewhere, so then the isser of saying Shema does not apply in front of that. Uche de Rav Yonasan, the Rav Yonasan Rame, Rav Yonasan posed the following contradiction between two pesukim in Parshas Kiseitze. Ksiv that says viyotihiyal lecham michutz la machanevi. One pasuk says that you have to go outside of the machane if you want to defecate, if you want to use the bathroom, you have to go outside of the machane. But then the other pasuk says that it's not enough to just leave the machane; you actually have to cover the feces that you just defecated. So the Gemara says haketsa. So which pasuk is correct? The Gemara says kam begedolim, kam begtanim. The Gemara says when it comes to feces, so feces you actually have to cover; you actually have to shovel and cover the feces. Whereas when it comes to urine, that requirement of covering does not apply. So the Gemara says alma ketanim lo asra Torah. So you see from this seeming contradiction that when it comes to urine, the isser of saying Shema only applies in front of an active stream of urine, as opposed to urine which is already on the floor. Hanafu la'aras share, but if the urine's on the floor already, then it's mutter to say Shema. V'rabbanan hu degazru b'hu, and it was simply a takanas chachamim to not recite Shema even in front of urine that's on the floor. V'chi gazru b'hu rabbanan bivada'an avo b'sveikan lo gazru. That gezera de rabbanan to not recite Shema in front of urine on the floor was only true for vada urine. If I know for a fact that there's urine here, but if it's only a suffix, so then that gzera derabanan was never instituted. So the Gemara wants to know ubivadan arkama. Let's say we're dealing with vada urine, so now there's a gzera derabanan to not recite Shema in front of vada urine. So the question is, like, what does that mean? In other words, how moist or how wet does the urine have to be in order to not allow me to say Shema? So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, kol zman shemat pichin. V'chein Amar Rabba Bar Barchanan, Rabbi Yochanan, kol zman shemat pichin. V'chein Amar Ula, kol zman shemat pichin. So all three of these Amorim basically say if the urine is moist, which we'll have to define in a second what that means. If the urine is moist, that's enough to not allow you to say Shema. Whereas Geniva Mishmei Derav Amar Kolzman Sherishu Manika. Whereas Geniva disagrees. Geniva says that even if the urine is not moist, but the impression, the mark of the urine is visible on the ground, that's also enough to not allow you to say Shema Midrabanan. So Amar Rav Yosef said Sharalei Marilei Geniva. He says Hakadosh Baruch Hu should forgive Geniva because basically he was basically saying that his position doesn't make any sense. He's saying that Hashem should forgive him for saying such a crazy thing. If the Gemara told us earlier that when it comes to feces, once the feces kind of, you know, crusts over, it's no longer considered feces, meaning now I'm permitted to recite Shema in front of it, so feces is a much more serious thing, so then kal v'chomer when it comes to urine, for sure, once the urine dries out, for sure I should be allowed to say Shema. How could Geniva say that if it's just the impression of the urine on the floor, meaning to say that it's totally dry, that I'm not allowed to say Shema? That seems to defy this halacha regarding the feces that, you know, the feces that dries up. So Amar Le'Abai, so Abai says, hang on a second, my chaz is the smoke taha. smoke out. Why are you relying on that previous statement regarding the feces that dried out? Maybe we should rely on the following statement. To Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Soa Afilu Kecheres Asura. According to this Gemara, according to this statement, even if the feces is as dry as earthenware, you're still not allowed to say Shema in front of it, which means that our whole Kal V'Chomer that we mentioned before is not correct anymore, which means that urine on the floor, even if it's dried out, should still be problematic. So the Gemara has to clarify. What's the definition of dried out urine? So Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chanam Rabbi Yochanan Kolzman Shezorka Ve'ina Nefreche. So one version of the Gemara is that if I can throw the feces and it doesn't crumble, Ve'ikad Amri Kolzman Shegolav Ve'ina Nefreche. And the other version is that if you can roll the feces and it doesn't crumble, so then it's considered to be moist. Now it's a little bit strange because the Gemara is asking No. The odd thing about this Gemara is that the Gemara is trying to find the definition of dried out feces, and instead it gives you the definition of moist feces, which again you could just derive the corollary from, and you could figure out what's considered dried out. But the Gemara, it's just interesting. The Gemara gives you the definition of moist when it's trying to figure out the definition of dried out. So Amar Ravina, Hava Kaimna Kami de Rav Yehuda Midifti. So I was standing in front of Rav Yehuda. So Chazat Soa. So he saw feces on the ground. Amar Li Ayein Ikarmu Puneh Ilo. He told me to go look at the feces and figure out if it was dried up or not. So the Gemara says, "Iko da amre hachi." So the Gemara says, "Iko da amre hachi amar le ayin imifle afluye." The second version of the Gemara was not that he asked him to see if it dried out, but rather to see if there were cracks in the feces, if it was starting to crack. So the Gemara says, "My havi alo." What was the maskana? What was the conclusion regarding saying Shema in front of dried out feces? So the Gemara says, "Itmar soa kicheres." What's the din regarding saying Shema in front of dried out feces? Amei mar amar asura umar zitra amruter. So again, it's a machlokas. So amar Rava hilchasat soa kicheres asura. So Rava takes a stance on this issue. He thinks that you're not allowed to say Shema in front of dried out feces, whereas by urine, you're only not allowed to say Shema if the urine is still moist. So the Gemara asks, so if the urine is moist, you're not allowed to say Shema, but nivlu oyav shumutarim, if the urine was either absorbed into the ground or if it was dried out, so then it's mutter. So the Gemara asks, isn't the case of urine being absorbed similar to the case of urine drying out, namely, my yavshu de'in rishuma nikar af nivlu de'in rishuma nikar ha rishuma nikar aser af agav de'in matpichin, which would imply that if the urine is visible on the ground, even though it's dry, even though it's not moist, that would be problematic, which would actually fit in well with Geneva shita earlier, which the Gemara tried to reject. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a good proof. The Gemara says, v'lit hamich, but according to your logic, emaresha, look at the first half of the brisa, which said, kol zman she matpichin huda aser ha rishuma nikar shari. On the other hand, the brisa also told us that as long as the urine is moist, that's problematic, implying that if I can merely tell the impression of the urine on the ground, but it's dry, that it's mutter. So the Gemara says, we seem to be getting contradictory implications from the Braisa. So the Gemara says, you're right, Elameho Leko Lemishma, we cannot derive anything conclusive from this Braisa. So the Gemara tries again. Gemara says, Lema Kisanai, let us say that this is really the following Machlokas Tanaim. Klisha Nishbechu Mimenu Meraglayim, Asur Likros Kriyashma Kenegda. Let's say I have a utensil in which urine used to be sitting, and then I poured the urine out. I'm not allowed to say Shema in front of that utensil, even though there's no urine currently in the kli. Umei raglayim atzman shenishbechu nivlu mutter lo nivlu aser. Rabbi Yosi Omer kolzman shemat pichin. What about urine itself? So according to the Tana Kama, urine itself, as in other words, if the urine was absorbed into the ground, then it's mutter to say Shema. If it was not absorbed into the ground, then it's problematic. Rabbi Yosi says the only thing that matters is whether the urine is moist or not. So the Gemara asks, my nivlu umay lo nivlu deka amar Tana Kama. What does the Tana Kama mean when he says the urine was absorbed or not absorbed? So ilema nivlu dein mat pichin lo nivlu de mat pichin. If he meant nivlu means that it's not, in other words, that it's dry, and lo nivlu means that it's moist. V'asa Rabbi Yosi lemeimar kol zman shemat pichin hu daser hari shuma nikar sharei haynu Tana Kama. And then Rabbi Yosi would be coming along and arguing and saying, well, it's only problematic if the urine is moist, but if the urine is, in other words, but if the urine is dry and the impression of the urine is visible on the ground that it's mutter, he'd just be saying the same thing as the Tana Kama. And it's obvious that Rabbi Yosi is disagreeing with the Tana Kama. So that can't be the correct formulation of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela nivlu de'in rishuma nikar lo nivlu de'rishuma nikar. So maybe the difference between absorbed versus not absorbed urine is whether I can see the impression of the urine on the ground. And then Rabbi Yosi would come and disagree and say that if the urine is moist, then it's problematic. But if the urine is merely visible on the ground, but it's dry, then it's mutter. Mar says, no, it's not true. Everyone agrees that the urine that it's only usher to say Shema in front of moist urine, but if it's merely visible on the ground, then it's mutter. Mashpiach Ikubenayu, the machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakama is how moist does the urine have to be in order to forbid you from saying Shema? According to Rabbi Yossi, as long as the urine is just regularly moist, that's already problematic. But according to the Tanakama, it has to be what's called tofeach amenas lahatpiach, which means that it's so moist that if you that it would make something else just as moist as well. So according to the Tanakama, there's a higher standard of moisture that's required in order to forbid you from saying Shema for urine. Yeah.
I presume that with all these urine rules, yeah, you have to see the urine.
Well, that's part of the machlokas here, right? In other words, is it rishuma nikar, right? In other words, rishuma nikar means that's visible. It's visible, whereas matpichin means that it's moist. I mean, presumably, if you can't see the urine at all, the assumption is that it was already absorbed into the ground. It's probably mutter anyway to say Shema. So in other words, you have to be able to see something. Either you have to see an impression of the urine, or you have to actually see the urine itself, and then you have to determine how moist it is.
But my question is, seems to be a visual rule. Let's say you're in front of a pool of urine, but for whatever reason you don't see it. Is your shema puzzled?
You don't see it because you're blind, or
you don't see it because you're looking in the opposite direction.
So I mean, then probably bidyeved. You might, again, that might depend on. In other words, let's say a person said Shema already, and then they realized that they were standing in front of urine or feces. That would probably depend on whether the urine or feces is derabanan or deoraisa, but whether bidyeved they would have to repeat Shema. But that's kind of a separate issue.
Or if you're a urologist or something, and you're in the closet, you can't daven in your office. You're in the presence of urine. You work for LabCorp.
You can't.
But it's moist.
I'm saying also, right? Well, I mean,
I'm just trying to understand.
No. So that particular case.
The predicate for the rule.
Yeah.
You eyeball it. Or it's there.
It definitely has to be visible. That's for sure. Meaning it has to be at least visible. That's the baseline. Now, in the case of, let's say, let's say in the case of a urologist, so that case might be different anyway, because as we'll see in the Gemara, if you cover over the feces, if you have double coverings, we're going to get to that in the later Gemara. So case might be different. If it's in a closet, in a case, in whatever, so that could, potentially be different anyway.
The question is, if you have little kids in your house, and you have diapers around, effectively you're not seeing it. You might make the argument that if these panthers are absorbed, I don't know.
Well, again, that would also maybe depend on urine versus feces, right? That will depend.
Feces, I understand, has got more of a smell.
Yeah.
Inside or outside?
Well, I mean, we saw in the Gemara earlier, remember the Gemara distinguished between a house versus a garbage dump, right? In other words, the assumption is that when you're inside of the house, unless you know otherwise, the assumption is that there's probably not like a pile of feces lying around the house. So, again, where...
Yes. The Gemara's going to say that no matter where you're walking outside, there's always going to be some urine.
Okay. I mean, you're right. In theory, if a person just saw the urine or the feces, they should. They should just go somewhere else. The issue here is that, in other words, we have to figure out, first of all, how far away do you have to distance yourself? That's one of the issues we mentioned before. Do you have to go 4 amot? Okay, but I'm saying, but part of these issues are I would say that, Bazman Azeh, I think it's pretty unlikely, if you go to a garbage dump, you're going to find a pile of feces there, right? So again, I think the assumption was that, in the times of the Gemara, if you went to a garbage dump, there was a pretty high likelihood that you were going to find some form of feces there. So the issue is not, I'm walking in the street and I see feces and I'm going to bedafka daven here. That's not the issue. The issue is, I have to set myself up in a place where it's unlikely that there's going to be feces or urine here. So if I dafka daven in front of a garbage dump, even though I don't see the feces, but I have to be concerned. Maybe there's feces here.
So
right.
Should we prohibit infants from base measures?
Say it again.
Should we prohibit infants?
Well, infants and a base measure is a separate issue. Meaning, in general, like for example, yeah. I mean, yes, you should. Yeah, that's. Yeah, I mean, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch by Hilchos Tefila, the Shulchan Aruch. I mean, there are actually a number of issues with bringing infants to shul. Because first of all, it's just distracting during davening, which the Shulchan Aruch says it's really problematic to bring babies to shul because of distracting reasons. But yeah, you're right. Kid, has a dirty diaper. Yeah, that could be problematic. Correct. Yeah, exactly. It's a problem. Okay. 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 Yeah. Okay. 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 So let's go back to the Gemara. Okay. So. Okay. The Mishnah told us Yarad Litbolim Yochol Lalos. The Mishnah told us earlier that if a person, let's say, went down to the mikvah, so if they're able to get out of the mikvah before the time to say Shema, so then they should get out, get dressed and say Shema. But let's say they realize that they're going to miss this man for Shema, so then they just have to kind of cover themselves with the water and say Shema. So the Gemara says Lema Tanis Stomach Rebbe Eliezer De Amarada Neitzachama. This Mishnah would seem to follow the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer happened happens to hold that the latest time to say Shema in the morning is Netzachama, is what we call Vasikin, right? So this Mishnah seems to assume that that's the latest time for Shema. The Gemara says, no, it's not true. Filu tema Rabbi Yoshua, the Dilma kivasikin, the Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Vasikin, are you gomer no sayma Netzachama? Maybe even Rabbi Yoshua could accept this Mishnah, but this Mishnah is following the people who are makbid about davening Vasikin, and therefore this Mishnah says that the people who are makbid about Vasikin, they were the ones who would have to cover themselves with the water to say Shema before Netzachama, but a person who's not makbid about Vasikin, they should just get out of the water and get dressed normally and then say Shema, before the third hour. Okay, then we said the Imlav Yiskasa b'mayavik, if a person does not have sufficient time to get out of the water and actually get dressed and say Shema, they have to cover themselves with the water and say Shema. So asks the Gemara, what do you mean? V'hari libo roa eserva. Isn't that a violation of the principle that we spoke about yesterday of libo roa eserva? Your chest is exposed to your erva. How are you allowed to say Shema in that situation? So Amar Rabbi Elazar, v'yitema Rabbi Acha Baraba, Baracha Mishum Rabbeinu, b'mayimachurin shanu, d'damu ka'aris michta, shalo yira libo erva. So the case is basically where the water is murky. In other words, the murky water, if it looks like solid earth, and therefore, exactly. So in that case, the water is not transparent, and therefore, there is no issue of libo roa eserva. What do you mean? All the tefillos in the times of the Gemara were in caves, pretty much. They were all in Mayim Achurin, pretty much, right? It's only a recent innovation that we have actually clean water mikvahs, right? That's why the Gemara's whole discussion earlier in the Masechta about a person showering after the mikvah, because all the waters in the mikvah were disgusting back then, right? Because they were all using, they were going into caves and whatever.
Did you stay in Brooklyn, some places are disgusting.
Yeah.
The presumption is that the water was clean, because the Gemara asked,
that correct. So that's why the Gemara has to give this okinta. No. Meaning the Mishnah thought that we were talking about clear water, and where it says no, the case is where the water is dirty.
Yeah,
it's like an okimta. Yeah, okay. So the Gemara says Tana Rabbanan. What if you're in clear water? So then what are you supposed to do in that case? So one opinion the Gemara says, basically make sure the water comes up to your neck and then you could say Shema. The other opinion says that no, you have to basically kick up some of the dirt on the bottom of the water and kind of make the water dirty. So the Gemara says, V'sanakama v'hare libo roa eserva. How does the Tana come? Meaning the first opinion that says that I can just go up to my neck, isn't that a violation of libo roa eserva? The Gemara says, no, kasover libo roa eserva mutter, because the Tana come, like we pointed this out yesterday, there are Amoraim who disagree with this principle, so the Tana Kama obviously holds that libo roa eserva is not a problem. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? V'hare akivo roa eserva. What about the fact that one's heel is exposed to your erva? The Gemara says, okay, kasavar akivo roa eserva mutter. That's also not a problem according to the Tana Kama. The Gemara says, itmar akivo roa eserva mutter. So again, if your heel is exposed to your erva, that's not a problem. What about nogea? What if your heel or body part is actually touching the erva? So abaye amar aser v'rava amar mutter. So the Gemara says, Rav Zvid masni lo lashmaita hachi. So that's the way that Rav Zvid taught this machlokes. However, Rav Chinuna b'rei de Rav Ika masli lahachi. Rav Chinuna taught it the following way: Nogeya divrei hakol asher. In other words, both Abaye and Rava agree that if the heel is touching the erva, that's for sure a problem to say Shema. What about Roa? What if the heel is merely exposed to the erva? So Abaye amar aser, Rava amar mutter. Why? Because lo nitna Torah lemalachei asharis. The Gemara says the reason why having your heel exposed to your erva would be mutter potentially is because the Gemara says lo nitna Torah lemalachei asharis. What does that mean? So malachim don't have genitals, and therefore the whole concept doesn't apply to them, but we who do have erva, so the isser, the concept, in other words, it's not possible for our heel to not be exposed to our erva in this situation, and therefore we don't have a choice, and therefore there is no issue called akevo roa es erva.
In the second version
of the Gemara says that roa is a machlokes, and the reason why you would say that akevo roa es erva is mutter is because lo nitna Torah lemalachei asharis. In other words, physically there's no other way for your heel to not be exposed to your erva in a natural scenario. So the Gemara says therefore that's why the opinion that says that it's mutter holds that it's mutter, because lo nitna Torah lemalachei asharis. That's what the Gemara assumes. What was that?
In the clear water, is that what?
Yeah. In other words, if your heel is exposed to your erva, which normally would be if you just stand up straight in theory, right? If you're not wearing any clothes, your heel will be exposed to your erva. So according to the opinion that says that it's mutter, the reason why it's mutter is because there's no way around that, right? In other words, there's no other way for your heel to not be exposed to your erva. That's just the way it is. Right?
Is it erva, testicle, or is it
it's that whole, the whole area. The whole area is considered erva. Yeah, I mean, we spoke about yesterday regarding, the machlokas regarding the buttocks. That was a question we had on yesterday's daf, but yeah, the front, definitely, definitely the front part of the body is all considered erva. So the Gemara says, "V'hilchasa nogeya asher roa mutter." We paskin that akevo nogeya esa erva is a problem, but akevo roa esa erva we paskin is mutter. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Amar Rava, soa ba'ashashis mutter likros kriyash makenegda." Let's say there's feces inside of some kind of a toilet bowl, but there's a covering on the toilet bowl. The covering happens to be transparent, so I can see the feces, right? So it's still mutter for me to say shema. However, erva ba'ashashis asher likros kriyash makenegda. Whereas if there's erva, in other words, if a person is sitting on the toilet bowl, if there's some kind of covering, so that's a problem. So the Gemara explains. Soa ba'ashash is mutter likros kriyash makenegda. Why did soa b'chisu talia mosa v'hamechasa? When it comes to feces, all we care about is whether or not the feces is covered. We don't care if the covering is transparent. Whereas erva ba'ashash is usher likros kriyash makenegda because v'lo yirev v'cha ervas davar amarachaman v'hakam eschazia. The Torah says that the ervas davar cannot be exposed, and even though it's covered, but if it's transparent, then the erva is considered to be exposed. Amar Abaye, soa kol shehu mevatla barok. If there's even a slight amount of feces, all you need to do is to take some spit, and the spit can override, can be mevatel the feces, and allow you to say Shema. So Amar Rava, uverok ava. So Rava explains that it has to be very thick spit in order to be mevatel the feces. What was that? It doesn't sound like there's a shear. What?
Say nakedness is transparent.
A person's what? Or I don't. I mean, there's some kind of a covering. There's some kind of a clear covering over the toilet. What? So we'll see in 1 second. We'll see what the issue is in a second. Okay? So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, tsoa beguma maniach sandalo aleha v'korei kriyashma. Let's say there's feces inside of a pit, inside of a hole, so you could simply put your foot on top of the hole, and then you could say Shema. So the Gemara says, ba'a mar bere de ravina tsoa devuka besandalo mai. So the Gemara says, take it. The Gemara's not sure what the din is, if some of the feces from the hole would actually stick to your shoe. So that's a suffix. Amar Rav Yehuda, akum arum asur likros kriyashma kenegdo. One is not permitted to recite Shema in front of a naked non-Jew. So the Gemara asks, mayiri akum. Yisrael Nami, even if a naked Jew, you're not allowed to say Shema. So the Gemara says, no. Yisrael, she delayed the Aser. By a naked Jew, for sure, you're not allowed to say Shema. Ela akum mitzrichle. The Chiddush is that even a non-Jew, you can't say Shema. Why? Because now the same I would have said, ho luchsivu, asher b'sar chamorim b'saram, eima kachamor ba'almahu. I would have said that the Pasuk in Yecheskel compares the mitzrichim to chamorim, to donkey. So I would have said that maybe we view them like animals. Kamash malan, de inu nami ikru erva, de chsiv, erva savihem lo ru. In Parshas Noach, we see that when Cham exposed the erva of Noach, so Noach wasn't Jewish, and it still refers to Erva Saviyam, and therefore there's also a problem of saying Shema in front of the Erva of a non-Jew.
What about the Erva of animals?
No, that's not. I mean, you're not allowed to. The Gemara of Vodasara says that one is not permitted to look at animals when they're having relations, but there's no issur of saying Shema. No. There's no issur of saying. Meaning, in terms of feces of animals, that we spoke about earlier, but Erva of animals, there's no issue. Yeah. In fact, that's clear from this Gemara, because Gemara thought to compare the Goyim to animals, and the Gemara says no. Chiddush is that we consider the Erva to be something. Okay. Yeah.
Obey Kochavim is any non-Jew.
Yeah. I don't think Oved Kochavim here means specifically an idol worshiper. I think it means any non-Jew. Yeah, I mean that. A lot of times the word Akum could be because of censor reasons that they put an Akum versus Guy. It's always a little bit unclear what kind. I mean, I think in this context it's pretty obvious we're talking about a regular non-Jew, even not an idol worshiper. That's a fair question. I mean, listen, a lot of these Gemaras, I think, are a little bit more, I don't know, I don't know if they're theoretical, but I'm saying, like, how often are you going to be in a lot of these scenarios? Well, but
let me ask you a question. You're at home.
Yeah.
Your child, you know, your wife's changing your child, things like that, and the child comes running out.
Well, again, that, first of all, that might depend, that's depend on how old the child is. If it's a
baby, 3-4 years old, I don't know.
Well, that's it's going to make a big difference. If it's a girl under 3 or a boy under 9, so then, generally speaking, again, we spoke about this, you know, on yesterday's daf regarding, you know, what's the cutoff point where we say that, you know, the erva of a baby is considered to be a problem. Yeah, so that's an issue. Okay, so then we said velo yiskasa lo b'mayim harayim velo b'meha mishra shayate l'sochan mayim. So we said in the Mishnah that one is not permitted to cover himself with, you know, foul, dirty water or with water in which flax was soaking unless you dilute that water with clean water. So the Gemara asks v'chama mayim rami v'aziel. In other words, how much water do you need to override or to dilute the flax soaking water? Meaning, presumably, you're going to need a lot of water to override the water that was, you know, in which flax was soaking. So the Gemara says you're right. Elohaki kamar lo yiskasa lo One is not allowed to soak themselves at all in dirty waters or in flax-soaked waters and say Shema. Whereas when it comes to urine, so once you dilute the urine with clean water, then you're allowed to say Shema. So how much water do you need to dilute the urine? So it's a machlokes. So the Tanakhama says, any amount of water. Rabbi Zakkai Omer Revius. You need to have at least a revius of water to dilute the urine. So Omer of Nachman, machlokes levesof. This machlokes about whether you need just a kolshu or at least a revius is only true if, let's say, the urine was added in afterwards. In other words, I'm sorry. If the urine was initially in the kli and then you pour the water on top of the urine. Aval betchila kolshehin. But if the water was already there and then the urine was being poured into the water, so that any amount of water, even if there was a kol shu of water and you poured a lot of urine into it, it would be batel. The reason for that is because there's a principle in halacha called kama batel, which means that if as each drop is coming into the water, each drop of urine, it's continuously becoming batel, and therefore the whole thing is not considered to be problematic. That's according to one version. However, for Rav Yosef Amar, he says no. Machlokes lechachila. The machlokes is even in a case. In other words, machlokes is in a case where the water was in first and the urine dropped into the water. Aval levisof. But if the case was where the water came in at the end, different halakha revius, and everyone agrees that you need at least a revius of water in order to be in order to be mevatel the urine. Amar le Rav Yosef leshamay, I see reviyasa demaya kirab zake. So Rav Yosef one time told his servant to bring him a revius of water to be mevatel the urine, which again follows the opinion of Rav Zake. Tana Rabbanan, grav shel rei va'avit shel mei raglayim asur likros kriya shema kenegdan va'afal pi she'ein bahen klum. If you have a chamber pot that usually has feces or urine in it, even if right now there's nothing inside of it, so you are not permitted to recite shema in front of that chamber pot. When it comes to urine itself, you have to dilute it. Again, that's the same machlokas that we just mentioned before. Then the Gemara explains, so in other words, regardless of whether the urine, the chamber pot, the feces, is in front of the bed or behind the bed, you still need either a kol shu according to the Tanakhama or a revius according to Rabbi Zakkai in order to be mevatelet. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, he says, no, la'achar hamita kore, lefnei hamita eno kore, avon marchiku arba amos v'kore. So according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, if the feces or urine is behind the bed, so then that's fine. Then you could say Shema. If it's in front of the bed, so then you have to first distance yourself four amos before saying Shema. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, afilu bayis mea amo lo yikra ache yotziemo she'anichem tachas hamita. Even if your house is 100 amos, you're still not allowed to say Shema until you either remove the feces or urine from the house or until you put it under the bed and the bed is acting as a form of a chatzitza separating you from the feces and the urine. So the Gemara asks, Ibayalu, Heichi ka'amar, achar hamita kore miyad, lifnei hamita marchik arba amos v'kore. Did the Gemara mean to say that if the feces and urine is behind the bed, then you could say Shema right away, but if it's in front of the bed, you have to distance yourself four amos first? Oh, Dilma, no, maybe Hachi ka'amar. La'achar hamita marchik dalad amos v'kore, lifnei hamita eno kore klawa. Perhaps we meant that if the feces or urine is behind the bed, you have to distance yourself four amos. If it's in front of the bed, then you're never allowed to say Shema in that situation. So the Gemara says, Tashma, Tisanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Achar Hamita Kore Miyah, Lefnei Hamita Marchik Arba Amos. So this first price says explicitly that if the feces is behind the bed, so then you can say Shema right away. If it's in front of the bed, you have to distance yourself four amos. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, he says, no, Afilu Bayis Meya Amo Lo Yikra, Achi Otsiem Oshi Anichem Tachas Hamita. Like we said before, even if the house is 100 amos, you have to either remove the feces or you have to make sure that it's hidden underneath the bed. So the Gemara explains, Bayan if Shitalan, Masniyasa Kashina Hadadi. So we've just resolved our question. In other words, regarding the din of feces being behind versus in front of the bed. But the problem is that now we seem to have a contradiction between these two braisas. Because one braisa says that if it's behind the bed, so that it's always mutter to say Shema. If it's in front, you have to distance yourself four amos. The other braisa says that no, that if it's behind, you have to distance yourself four amos. If it's in front of the bed, then you can't say Shema at all. So how do we resolve that braisa? So the Gemara says, no. The Gemara says, Epoch Bas Raisa. We should flip around the opinions in the latter braisa, meaning we should say that the latter braisa reflects the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar as opposed to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So the Gemara asks, "My chazes to apach bas raisa, ipuch kamaisa." Why don't we flip the first braisa? Flip the opinion of the first braisa. So the Gemara says, "No, man shamas le da'amar kule vayetz karba amus dami Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar." It makes more sense to attribute the second braisa to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar because we know that from the Gemara in Erevin, that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar generally holds that an entire house has the halachic status of four amos. So therefore, he would be the one who would say that even if your house is 100 amos, you still have to either clear the feces out or you have to move it under the bed. So that's why the Gemara felt more comfortable attributing that braisa to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, because we know that in general he holds that an entire house is like four amos. Amar Rav Yosef, Ba'ayin Nei Me Rav Huna, Mita Pachos Mishlosha Pshitoli de kelavudami. It's obvious that if a bed is less than three tefachim, so we know the famous principle called lavud from Hilchos Sukkah, from Hilchos Erevin, it's considered as if it's on the ground itself, which means that for all intents and purposes, the feces is halachically covered, so I'm allowed to say Shema if the bed is less than three tefachim from the ground. What about Shlosha Arba Chamisha Shisha Shiva Shmona Tishama? What if it's somewhere between three and nine tefachim? So Amar li lo yadana. He says, I'm not sure what the halach would be in that case. Asara vade lo miboyli. But if the bed is already 10 tefachim, that's not even a shayla. And Amar le Abaye, and Abaye explains, Shapir avad lo yiboyelacha. He says, it's good that you didn't ask the question regarding 10 tefachim because the case of 10 tefachim is obvious. Kol asara reshusa acharitihi. But we know that if it's 10 tefachim, that's considered to be like an independent reshus, which basically means that it's for sure going to be an issue to say Shema because the bed is not considered to be covering the feces at all. It's considered to be a totally separate entity from the feces. So Amar Rava, Hilchasa, Pachos Mishlosha Kilavodame, Asara Rishusa Acharisihi, Mishlosha Arasara, Hainu Deba Amine Rav Yosef, Miravuna Velo Pasha Lei. So again, the case of between 3 and 9 was exactly this Machlokes, and that was the case that the Gemara left unresolved. Amar Rav, Halacha Kerajum and Elazar, Vechin Amar Bali, Amar Rav Yaakov, Berad Deba Shmuel, Halacha Kerajum and Elazar, Verava Amar In Halacha Kerajum and Elazar. Again, we have a Machlokes about how to Paskin. Rav Achai, Yasakle, Lebre, Be Rav Yitzchak, Bar Shmuel, Bar Merta. So Rav Achai was marrying off his son into the family of Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel. Aile lechuppah v'lo hava mistayan ulsa. So his son, you know, went through the chuppah process, but he couldn't consummate the marriage. So Azul Basri La'yuna. So his father went to go figure out why he couldn't consummate the marriage. So Chaza Sefer Torah demancha. He saw that there was a Sefer Torah in the room that was kind of, you know, just lying there. So Amar Lehu, he said, Ichu hashto lo asai sakanto levri. If I hadn't come right now, this would have been a terrible danger to my son's life. Desanya, bayis sheish bo Sefer Torah utfilin, asur l'shamish bo asamita, ad sheyotziyem o sheyanichem klibisoch kli. One is not permitted to engage in relations if there's a Torah or tefillin in the room until either you take it out of the room or you put a double covering over the Torah or the tefillin. And the Gemara explains, Amar Abaye, lo shanu el bechli she'eno kilyan, ava bechli shehu kilyan, afilu asara mani kichad mana dami. When we talk about a double covering, it has to be like an unnatural covering. Meaning if I put like my tefillin case over the tefillin, that's the normal covering for the tefillin. So it has to be some kind of abnormal covering in order to qualify as a regular covering. If I put, let's say, 10 tefillin bags around my tefillin, that's totally meaningless in this case.
So in today's day and age, the tefillin can't be in your house?
No, they can't be in your bedroom. They can't be in your bedroom. I mean, if you're having relations. They can be in a different room in the house. Yeah, they can be in a different room in the house. Or, I mean, in theory, you can put it in a closet or you could make some kind of a mechitza in your room if you really wanted to keep it there. Yeah, correct. Okay? Well, yeah? Okay? So the Gemara continues. Amar Rava, Glima Akamatra Kichlibisol Klidami. So Rava says that the covering on top of a Sefer Torah is also considered to be like a Klibisol Kli. It's like a double covering, which would be enough. So again, the mantle is considered to be a normal covering for the Torah. So you'd have to have some kind of extra covering on top of that. Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Sefer Torah, Tzarech Laso, Slo Mechitza, Asara Tefachim. If you have a Sefer Torah, so you need to make a 10 Tefach Mechitza if a person wants to have relations in that room. Mar Zutra Ikla Leve Rav Ashi, Chazi Leduchte Demar Bar Rav Ashi, Demanach Be Sefer Torah, Va'avile Mechitza Asara. So he saw that there was this, 10 Tefach Mechitza in the room with the Sefer Torah. So Amar Le Keman, Ker Rav Yeshua ben Levi. So he says, are you following the opinion that we just quoted before of Rav Yeshua ben Levi? The problem is, Amar De Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, De Leisle Be Sacharina, Mar Ha'isle Be Sacharina. Maybe this heter of building a 10 Tefach Mechitza is only true if you have no other house. But he says, you have another house to put the Torah in. So Amar Li says, you're right, la vadati. He says, I didn't realize that, or I didn't think of that. Okay.